Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 151, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast keep on going. With me is my co-host here, Derek. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not much, Bob. I feel like you came on a little weak there, man. You sound
I'm a little tired. Okay, okay. I've been testing hardware for 5 days straight and or however many days. Well, and it's just it's one of those launches coming up and just a lot of testing. Yeah, so
gotta get it done.
I'm drinking an energy drink right now, so that should make you happy. I'm drinking the Monster.
Okay.
So yeah.
So aside from you've got your 9900K.
Yeah, I do.
That review will be next week. Everybody comes out with those next week, right?
Friday.
Oh, this Friday.
Friday. So this Friday, we should have that review as well as two motherboard reviews. So, nice. Be a lot of 9th gen Intel talk. You'll be surprised. You might be not as surprised. There have been some leak results and some other things that have come out.
Right.
But let's just jump into what we did do this past week. Starting off, I did do a preview of the ASRock Z390 Phantom Gaming SLI AC. So what ASRock has done is their Phantom Gaming series, which was on their AMD graphics cards. They kind of wanted to get into the graphics card game, and they did with AMD graphics cards, specifically for mining, to make money off the mining craze, obviously. But they're keeping the Phantom Gaming line, and they're extending it to their motherboards, starting with the Z390 line. So all of these motherboards will have the same kind of motif. They'll look the same. The BIOSes will be kind of themed after this Phantom Gaming. And it should be, they should keep this as their gaming brand going forward. So you'll have, like, the Phantom Gaming line, then you'll have, like, the Tai Chi, and then I think they have I don't know what their regular boards are called. They're like their pro boards or something like that. But you will be able to, you know, see ASRock and know their different sub brands or their different segments that they'll have, which is kind of nice because they had a few gaming boards with like the Fatality branding, but there was no like specific set gaming brand. Every big motherboard manufacturer has done it, you know, with Asus, you have the ROG, with Gigabyte, you have Aorus, with MSI, you have the MSI Gaming, like specifically.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about time ASRock did it. It just makes more sense and allows them to market specifically to gamers. And it just, when you see Phantom Gaming, you'll know what it is. They're trying to build a lot of brand recognition around it. So, the Z390 Phantom Gaming SLI AC is pretty much in the center, or sits right in the center of their Phantom Gaming Z390 stack. So this kind of gives you the best of everything in that line. It is a full ATX motherboard. It's going to give you SLI support, which, of course, the name rings out, and you will get 802.11ac Wi-Fi. You'll see a lot of Wi-Fi boards with Z390 because the Intel Wi-Fi is built into the chipset now. So that was one of the additions with Z390 that you're going to see. So Wi-Fi won't be as expensive as an add-on for a lot of these boards, which is nice. This board has a 10-phase power design, and their big thing with this board is the 2.5 gigabit LAN. That goes across their entire Phantom Gaming line to give you the best kind of, instead of, you'll see a lot of 10 gigabit on a lot of stuff, but that's good for like larger file sizes. But the 2.5 gigabit is really good for latency and gaming specifically. So they have that in all of their Phantom Gaming boards. So you're going to see that on this board. Besides that, as far as the features, this is going to have pretty much all the features you're going to want in a Z390 board. You do have two full M.2 slots there that you can put two M.2 SSDs in there. Of course, this supports DDR4 memory. The board overall looks good, within its category, I would say, where it's placed in their product stack. There is a little bit of RGB lighting, but I like it that it's not overly RGB'd out. The RGB lighting will be on the PCH heatsink. But I think it's an overall, it's a good board. You know what you're getting with the ASRock line, and it's just a good solid board. And so far in testing, it's very solid. BIOS is good as well. So
nice.
Just a little preview up. You guys can check out now.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you going to be adding the testing? Cause I don't know. You only got three.
Yeah. So here. Yeah. So the preview, obviously we can't reveal any testing at all because the Intel embargo is, Friday.
Right.
So the preview just gives you a look at the board, an overview of the features, and then we'll have a full review, which will launch on Friday, that has everything.
Cool.
So you get all the testing and all that kind of stuff, all the software, because we can't really even tell you about the software, because if anything says i9-9900K, we break our embargo.
Don't do that.
So but it gives you a good idea of what to expect from this board, and we'll definitely follow up next podcast on everything, all of our testing and kind of how the board did and all of that stuff. So cool. Yeah. And then I also took a look at a rather large air cooler from Cooler Master. It's their Master A MA410M, which their big feature here is the RGB lighting. This has their addressable RGB lighting that you saw on, which cooler was that?
The ML360R.
Okay.
RGB, yeah. Master Liquid ML360R RGB, which is their 360 millimeter all-in-one.
Yeah, so there, with this, you're getting that controller with RGBs that are in the fans. So you get two fans on this, so you can do what would be a push-pull setup. Mm-hmm. And there's RGBs in the fans as well as throughout the cooler itself. Tower. And it's all controlled, throughout the tower. Sorry, this is a single tower cooler with four heat pipes, and the heat pipes do make direct contact with your CPU. Now, the big selling point of this, of course, is the RGB, especially addressable RGB, so you can make the effects on this are really impressive. Which you can do. You can also connect it to your motherboard if it has an addressable RGB header, not a normal RGB header, but an addressable RGB header. You can go ahead and do that.
What does it do if you connect it to a normal one?
It won't connect. There's only three pins.
Oh, okay.
So it won't connect to a normal RGB header, but a lot of newer motherboards, especially the newer chipsets, do have the one normal RGB header and then an addressable RGB header. They will. But as far as performance goes, I mean, we tested this on our new setup, which is a Ryzen setup, and it did decently well. But in my opinion, it was only like just under 2 degrees better than the AMD stock cooler. And based on that, I mean, if you're buying a Ryzen 7 2700X, which comes with that cooler, there's really no point to upgrade to this unless you want like the crazy RGB action.
Which, really, it's just you're going for the addressable, because the AMD Wraith, it is RGB. So
it is.
Yeah. And it's a decent cooler. So, yeah. What kind of cost are we talking about on this?
I believe it's just over $50. So it's a decently expensive cooler. Yeah. I get it that you're paying for addressable RGB that is expensive. I mean, just addressable RGB fans are quite expensive.
You just kind of you'd kind of hope they would have paired it with the decent like tower, right? I mean, that's what it comes.
Yeah, really, the single tower is pretty thin. The heat pipes are also thinner.
It's only four.
And yeah, you only get four heat pipes in there. And it's just, especially if you're on the Ryzen side where you get the coolers it's really not worth the upgrade. Now, if you're on the Intel side, and the Intel stock cooler is really bad, I don't know what processor you would have that would still have that, but, this is really selling for the addressable RGB, and I get it. It makes sense. It's beautiful. I mean, it looks great. Yeah. It's going to look great in your system. I mean, you saw it at CES. You know, it's a great cooler looks wise. Just performance could have been better. I know. And the thing is, too, is like there's no, you really don't run into much of clearance issues with two fans installed. So that tells you just how thin that single tower is.
Yeah. I wonder, too, if that the shroud that holds the lighting, if that doesn't impact it a little bit, at least as far as dissipating, just naturally dissipating heat and not forced air. I wonder if that's a little bit to do with the lack of performance. Obviously, it's not going to be like the biggest factor because you're still blasting air through with the fans. So this kind of falls right in line with that all-in-one that I reviewed. It looks fantastic in your system, but performance-wise, it's very mediocre.
Yeah, it's you know, that's the thing. I think they have something really great in this adjustable RGB controller, what they're using on multiple products.
Agreed. But, absolutely agreed.
It's awesome, but they need to work on performance of the cooler. You know, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing. So hopefully we'll see a next generation of these coolers that are a little bit bigger and do focus more on cooling as well.
Yeah, just they need to take a step forward in their high-end cooling, I guess. Like, their top-end cooling, I guess I would say. It's not necessarily high-end, but, like, just, it's just, it, the competition is really high, and they're just not quite up there with the top level stuff, and price wise they are. And I think, well, like we said, it's the RGBs that are bringing that price up, but I mean, you can't just blame it on the RGBs and hope for sales, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so our third review of this past week is the TP-Link Archer C5400X gaming router. This is a tri-band Wi-Fi router, and it is these things always look so funny because there's so many antennas. There's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 antennas on this thing.
8, yeah.
But this is TP-Link's gaming router, and obviously they're marketing this towards gamers with a lot of features baked into this thing. And there's actually 3 processors in this, so this is one of those super powerful. Super powerful routers, and Ryan took a look at it, and he really liked it. The overall looks, it looks like a gaming router. It's even, I mean, it's black with red accents, which kind of lends itself to.
I actually wish they wouldn't do that. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
Like, regardless of the company, Netgear, TP-Link, Asus, like they all kind of do these gaming routers, and I get that they're aimed at gamers and gamers like that, I guess, but like, can't you just make it so it blends into the home?
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
But aside from the looks, I mean, the thing is looks like it's a beast.
Yeah, it's a beast. Ryan went over setup and everything. Super easy to set up. You know, it has the TP-Link Home Care, which is a big thing they're pushing. That's built into all their products now. It comes with that. Yeah,
super intuitive.
Yeah, very, very easy to use. Obviously, it has gamer-centric features built into it as well. And the one thing that, you know, these newer routers, especially, you know, you get into, like, you know, the tri-band and the coverage is what you want to look at. And he did a lot of, you know, 3 different location tests for the Wi-Fi. And what's interesting is, like, his third location, he couldn't even test his other router, his old one, because it wouldn't reach, but the TP-Link one did. And that's the biggest thing with a lot of these newer routers. Like, if you're rocking some really old router, or which Ryan talked about in his review, if you just, like, go to Best Buy and get, like, the cheapest one, that maybe have a high number, it might be a, you know, AC3200, AC5400, whatever, but yeah, it's just like a cheap, you know, sub $100, you're not going to get the coverage. You're just not.
And those numbers are so made up.
Yeah, a lot of the numbers are made up. There's tons of articles on that as well. But Ryan really liked this router. It is inexpensive router, as most ones in this category are. It's $368.
That is pushing it.
You know, this does have the 8-port switch in it, which is actually pretty high. Typically you see 4.
Yeah.
Extremely so high. You know, I assume if you're a gamer, you're not necessarily super worried about the wireless. You're really on the wired connection. So having 8 ports there is awesome, I think.
Yeah, it kind of simplifies life for you in that you don't need a switch as well.
Yeah. So I definitely like that. But yeah, I mean, $368 is a lot to shell out. But if, again, we talked about this with other routers, specifically Asus ones that are very expensive as well. You know, in the Netgear, I believe it's the Netgear. Or no, was it? No, the Linksys one that I took a look at, the gaming router. You're getting a lot out, you know, you're getting a lot of features in these that you don't even realize. And if you actually make full use of them, it's amazing what these routers really can do. Definitely check out that review. Really high end router. These with 8 antennas just look so funny.
I mean, it's difficult to avoid the antenna. You do need a physical antenna.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, yeah. All the routers that I reviewed, that like they want to look nice, but the antennas are like hidden in the device. You want the big ugly looking.
You lose a lot, But like, just do something different.
Yeah,
everything about the antennas is just bad to me.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan, but according to Ryan, this is a really good router. Easy to set up too. Which is a big thing, especially, you know, we're getting a lot of gamers coming into the scene that may not be as tech savvy, but they love games. So easy setup. I think just in general, especially for networking products, easy setup should be like one of the first things on your list.
Yeah, I think that the art of setting up a network is kind of being lost because all these devices are so smart.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have to really mess around with it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely check out that review. He gave it a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely take a look at that. And we'll move to Case Mod Friday. And this week, we have a very interesting build, an over-the-top build. I would categorize it as. It's called Project Sky 3, and it's by St. Jimmy's PC Modding. I know we've done at least builds before. And what he's done, he's actually taken 3 Cooler Master Q300P cases and put them together into this monstrosity, which I love the look of it, honestly. It's just huge and over the top. There's only one system in there when you could have at least 3, if not more.
I see it now.
Yeah, it looks like, I used to go to LAN parties and it just looks like, you know, somebody would have this monstrosity over the top system with just like a file server or something that just like, you know, would just like look cool. And this kind of brings me back to that. I just think that it looks really, really awesome. He did do smoked tubing.
Yeah, smoked.
I'm a fan of. So that looks really cool. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I would categorize it. It's just like over the top. Almost looks like a rack. Like a rack you would find.
Yeah, especially with the handles on the front. They look like you can pull the slides out. I don't know what to add necessarily. It's just, the system is in the back. What's he got up top? Is that all the water cooling?
Up top, he has hardware. He has a hardware. So he has a motherboard.
He's got a board up there.
Yeah, he has a motherboard, graphics card.
What's in the back of it then?
The back?
Like in the main part of it. I guess it's just a reservoir?
Oh, yeah. Those are like really big reservoirs, it looks like.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually, that part of it looks like it has a motherboard in it. It's a pair of reservoirs and a pair of radiators in the back.
Yeah.
Yep. That's cool.
Yeah. I like it. It's different. It's just over the top. And it reminds me of like old LAN party days when somebody would have this massive file server or something.
Yeah, totally.
You know, this is just something.
Now, I can say one thing that they're probably going to regret is having that main system in the top. From one of the cases that I've used, like having your wires run all the way down the back is a total pain.
Yeah.
It really clutters up your entire desk space, but you know.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. It's a sick mod.
Yeah, I like it. And it's just, like I said, it's just simple, but it just, I don't know. It kind of just brings back nostalgia for me of old LAN party stuff.
So. Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, this whole time I've been trying to think of some of the different cases that we used to see, the companies that don't even exist anymore.
Thermaltake has a new one that's like this, and they had the other one. Their original one was actually good. Obviously, Case Labs used to have cases like this. Who else? Enermax used to have a really big one like this too, way back in the day.
Well, the half system used a stack kind of like this.
Yeah.
From Cooler Master, but there were a lot of boutique companies. I'm thinking Frozen CPU might still have them if you're trying to. They won't actually have them, but they'll have them because like everything is archived on Frozen.
Yeah,
you won't actually be able to sell them or buy them, but like if you've ever just like perused that way, if you're ever looking for like a good time, just peruse the depths of Frozen CPU because they have stuff that you didn't know existed.
Oh, really? I've never done that.
Yeah, it's a good time.
I might have to do that.
Yeah,
but yeah, definitely check out this build. Good job by St. Jimmy's PC Modding, and we have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds going back at least 3 years. So if you're looking for inspiration or just want to check out some awesome mods, you can just browse through there and check them all out.
Yeah, good stuff. Yes. It's really we should mention too, like it's as big as it is, it's really clean.
It's very clean.
Clean build.
There's not any. Wires. You can barely see any wires. So I like that.
That's sweet.
Yes. So let's move on to news. And we're right before launch, so we don't have a ton of news, but we do have some stuff. First one is related to graphics cards, and it looks like MSI is working on a GeForce RTX 2080 Ti Lightning Z. The Lightning card, of course, has always been MSI's fastest graphics card. I remember the first Lightning cards, and there's some that they only made 15 of back in the day.
They were really special.
Yeah, cards they're super high end. So at one of their events in China, they put a silhouette of up on the thing, and it said it had a lightning bolt, and it said coming soon. So that's what everybody's expecting. This will be the highest, MSI's highest clocked or factory overclocked graphics card. A lot of people are speculating that it might be, have the strongest VRM and it'll be Volt Mod friendly, which is great for,
cool.
For all you tinkerers out there. And of course, it's going to have
warranty voiders.
Yes, it's going to have some type of, massive cooling solution, I assume. In my opinion, the Lightning cards have always looked the sexiest. They're just like that must-have card. They're just sick. So that's pretty exciting to see because we didn't see one when MSI did launch all of their RTX cards, or at least the 2080 Ti's. So that'd be exciting to see. We'll keep you updated, and if anything comes out, we'll definitely let you know.
My big hope is that, traditionally or the early versions of the Lightning, they were actually binned a lot higher than the rest of the cards. I'm hoping that they get back to that with those.
Yeah, so
we're like it's actually like worth it to buy that card, and it's not just the same old chip with extra cooling and the VRM.
Yeah, so that would be nice if these are the highest binned GPUs. But we don't see that as much anymore, sadly. So
yeah.
So AMD. They opened a retail store in the Philippines. This is a concept store that will obviously sell Ryzen CPUs. They'll sell, AMD graphics cards. They'll sell fully built systems with AMD parts in it. And I believe laptops that are powered by AMD as well. Nobody knows if this was like an Intel corporate thing, or just like Intel, like the Intel Philippines decided, or not Intel, AMD Philippines decided to do this, to do this as like a test to see if it's kind of, popular. Whereas like, I don't believe like major retailers that were used to like Newegg and, Amazon, I don't know if Amazon ships to the Philippines. I'm not sure, but a lot of countries like the Philippines are very underserved when it comes to buying PC parts online. It's just, there's not big retailers that we're used to. So this is a concept store. It just opened. It would be cool to see AMD stores, you know, in smaller countries where they don't have a lot of options, and be great. You know, they're just, you know, getting the AMD name out there, but also allowing people to go into the store, test the systems, and see what maybe, you know, maybe PC gaming is all about too. So I think it's an awesome thing.
Yeah, from that perspective, definitely.
Yeah, so
I don't see them like necessarily making too much money through the storefront, at least in like a developed country. But
yeah, I don't see maybe. It in major, like I don't see this, you know, in any Western country. I don't see this in Europe or anything like that. But, you know, underserved markets where again, there's not big online retailers, or there's even not a whole lot of electronic stores, or, you know, a lot of these countries, electronic stores charge like a huge, huge money on top of what the MSRP should be. That happens a lot. So it'd be cool to see. You know, I'm sure if I was, you know, at the mall with the girlfriend and she was shopping and there was an AMD store, I'd go in there and play some video games, you know? Yeah, so
definitely.
So, yeah. So that's something cool that's going on. And we'll move from that to Intel. And you know, besides the 9900K, which everybody's been talking about this week, Intel will be launching an i5 9600K. And that's a, six core, six thread, part. And it has been overclocked to 5.2 gigahertz, but more impressively, on air. And it was run through Cinebench, and we linked to the video that's from a Chinese website. But the overclock was achieved using a Thermalright Silver Arrow Extreme air cooler. I believe that's a dual fan cooler. It looks pretty beefy from what I saw in the video.
Yeah, two or three. It's pretty big
cooler. Yeah. So I would put that in line with like a Noctua D14, D15. But it's pretty impressive. I mean, 5.2 gigahertz on air in general is pretty awesome. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, well, for one thing, it's not quite to 5.2. Unless at some point earlier on in the video, but I skipped to the end and they were, the best I saw was 5.124.
Okay. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did see where they were at 5.2.
Oh, maybe they had back down.
Yeah. But at any rate, I mean, these, from my experience with these chips, Intel, you know, because they're not shrinking down in their process, you know, getting more out of these chips just in general, it's kind of hard. So to run this on air at 5.2, I remember, again, you know, the golden thing was 5 gigahertz on air.
You know, I mean, that was like, you better be able to do 5 gigahertz on air with good cooling.
Yeah. So, but again, you have to keep in mind too that Thermalright cooler is pretty big. I mean, probably better than even some AIOs, I would suspect.
Probably most. It's probably on par with like a lot of the 360 Red AIOs.
Yeah. So, that's something to keep in mind. But now they did run the bench, the Cinebench on it at 3.7 gigahertz and 5.2 gigahertz. When it was run at stock speed, it's not that impressive if you look at other Cinebench scores that are out there. So again, we'll see these come out soon enough and you'll be able to see the performance difference. I can't really say much else about it, but just something to keep in mind. But cool for overclockers, people to, you know, who are thinking about possibly picking up one of these chips, knowing that, you know, at least on air cooling, you can get pretty high on these. So
yeah, with certain caveats, because it's also, if you watch when they're stress testing it at the end, it's like 93 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, that's another thing as well.
So like it's pretty much right up about the thermal shutdown. So
yeah, I believe these are 115 degrees is the thermal shutdown.
Oh really?
Yeah. I believe.
Oh wow,
so.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, it's very, very high. I would not want to run that high. So
yeah, I wonder what the recommended max is.
Yeah,
probably less than 90. typically.
Yeah, yeah. Usually, I think I ran the 8700K at like 96, and then I wasn't going any higher than that, just based on that. I was like, I'm not going to burn this trip, so.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, for your, like, daily overclock, like...
No, yeah,
What your max stress test should be. I'm guessing probably below 90.
Yeah, I would think, like, for, like, a daily overclock, I would probably... 75 to 80 would be, like, what I would, I guess. And that would be under load.
I mean, when you're... So you overclock it, and then you run your stress test, like, until burn test or prime 95, like... I wouldn't want to see it go over 90 in those. And then for regular use, I wouldn't want to see, like, even in game, I wouldn't want to see it going over like 70 probably.
Yeah. Because again, you know, you can hit those temps for like a small period of time. But you don't
without, yeah, degrading the life.
Yeah. You don't want to run those temps for a long time. I mean, it usually like 70, 75 is like, you know, and again, people have to realize too is that you're not running your CPU at 100% at all times. If you are, I don't know what you're doing, but you know,
mining.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's GPU typically, so
true.
But yeah, so
folding at home.
Yeah, yeah. So so a lot of cool stuff with Intel processors, but moving to AMD processors, it looks like AMD will be cutting prices already on their second generation Ryzen processors. And this is awesome if you're looking to build a new system right now. I mean, if you look at it, the Ryzen 7 2700X, which is, we reviewed it, it's a great chip. It's a 8 core 16 thread part. It launched at $330. It's gonna be now down to $295. So under $300, 8-core, 16-thread part that has a proven ecosystem now and everything like that. You know.
It was on par with the 8700K, right? Or faster.
It's faster than the 8700K, except for in gaming. The Intel chips still in, except for in gaming and except for in single-core performance, the 2700.
It has to do with memory, maybe. I thought I was.
Yeah, it has to. It has to do.
It's not. It doesn't allocate the memory correctly.
Yeah, it has to do with memory sometimes, and it's just that Intel has the single core thing down. You know. But again, I mean, here's the thing: is that for $295, you're getting the processor plus a very good CPU cooler. The AMD Wraith Prism RGB is an awesome cooler that has RGBs that can be connected to your motherboard's RGB header. It's big. It's super easy to install. I mean, it's just such a value. Like, it really is a value, and it really is, performance-wise, it's good. It you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I'm going to, like, it's like not like buying a Chevy compared to, like, a Porsche or not even, like, you know, like a Ferrari. It's not like that at all. So, you know, again, when the 9900K comes out, the MSRP is 480 something. Pre-orders are at like 100 over that. So like
580.
Yeah, I think it's about, I think people said like 60 to 65% more expensive.
There's absolutely no way you can justify that pricing.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see it drop. I hopefully that's just hype. Because again, the MSRP is not that, but still, you know, and on top of that, you know, even a 6-core 12-thread Ryzen 5 2600X is down to $210. You know, and then you can also get a 6-core 6-thread, or a, what's it called? A 6-core 12-thread Ryzen 5 2600 for $160. 6-core 12-thread. $160.
So long as you don't want to do any overclocking.
Yeah, I mean, that's
$160. Boom.
And that's a lot of people these days.
That's a lot of power still.
Yeah.
Although the overclocking would help mitigate the single core lacking areas. But, you know.
But still, I mean, I don't know what Intel's going to do when they launch these parts. If they keep the MSRPs. I mean, it's going to be a battle, I think. And I think AMD is doing the right thing. you know?
Absolutely. I think that they are, with this move, they're kind of cutting Intel off at the knees before they can even do anything. They also, what did they announce? What part did they announce, like, immediately after Intel announced the 9900K? I forget what it was.
They didn't announce any new parts.
I thought that they did.
They do have a 2800X, which hasn't been released. It hasn't been announced.
Something had hit the news.
I think that we could possibly see the 2800X come out, because it's just like,
yeah,
you know, that's what everybody's been waiting for, which would be kind of cool.
It'll come out so long as it's faster than the 9900K.
Yeah.
That's what'll happen. I think they did. I can't remember, so it's pretty useless information. But I feel like they did something immediately after Intel's announcement, which is like, it wasn't like huge, but it was like, just they're doing a really good job of deflecting the attention back onto themselves.
Yeah.
When Intel should be the only thing in the spotlight right now, we're on this podcast talking about AMD.
Yeah. Processing, so. I mean, I think they're really making us competitive, and I like it. I think, you know, without the Ryzen launch, we wouldn't see competition in this space, and we would still be on quad core, you know?
100%.
You know, yeah. So...
Intel would have us on quad core for another 10 years.
Yeah.
If AMD hadn't come along and done anything.
Yeah, so pretty cool. I'm excited even for the next generation of chips as well.
I'm excited still for both. Like, it's not just, like, abandon Intel.
Oh, no, like, not at all. I mean, as we talked
now,
about,
Intel is like kind of like, just let them make their moves for a bit and then maybe come back to them.
I think once Intel is able to get their process down, again, yeah, they're still on 14 nanometer.
Once
they're able to resolve that issue. And as we talked about too, the Intel boards still, the feature set is still more, there's just more in the chipset. Feature wise, and the boards still look, while they're close, I still think the Intel boards look better.
Yeah. Is it that Intel boards will always look better because of the socket design?
No, and the layout? I think that, I mean, the chipset has more in it, compared to the AMD chipset. But I don't know. I mean, I think too is that
I'm just saying in general, aesthetically, looking at the boards, like, I find that I feel the Intel boards look better.
I agree.
And so I guess I am wondering, kind of philosophically, is this something that AMD will never get over just because Intel's socket design is better and the board layout?
No, because, I mean, they're typically the same. I mean, the socket's just slightly different, but it's the same size almost. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's anything different. I don't know. I mean, and again,
they always look cheaper to me.
And we don't know if there's like specific teams for, if there's specific design teams for AMD, and there's specific,
there like has to be,
you
right?
know. But the thing is that we're getting the same boards for both, you know, we're getting the ROG board for both. We're getting the, you know,
I assume within the companies, it's like ROG Intel, ROG AMD.
Yeah, so I don't know how that whole thing is going. But we'll segue, it's a perfect segue, into an Intel board.
It's a perfect segue.
Asus announced a lot of their boards, but, you know, initially, but now we have a workstation board for Z390, which is quite interesting, because usually
I love this.
Workstation is relegated for high-end desktop, because usually you have a very high CPU load that you would want, you know, a highly threaded chip to do, and you want quad channel memory and things like that. But they will be releasing a workstation board, the WS-Z390 Pro. It will have a PCI Express bridge chip, which means that you'll be able to do two graphics cards at full X16 speeds, and you'll be able to do four cards all at X8 speeds, which, again, if you're doing workstation work, that's something that you definitely want. Looks sick. Yeah. Looks really, really nice. I really like the M.2 coolers on this that are kind of built in, that kind of connect with the PCH heatsink. That looks really cool. It just looks like a good board. I don't know how much they're going to sell. I mean, an 8-core 16 thread is good for workstation, but you know, as we're getting to the higher core counts, I don't know. And again, if you want to do 4 graphics cards, you're only going to X8 speed instead of X16 that you would get on, say, a high-end desktop board. So
depends on what you're doing with that, though. X8 is plenty of bandwidth for gaming, for instance.
True.
I don't know what you would be doing that would be requiring times 16 for all 4 necessarily, because you're not going to get like usage on all 4 at times 16, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be broken down.
One thing I don't see on this board that we see on many workstation boards, unless I'm not seeing it, is I don't see dip switches for the slots.
Oh, there's got to be. Just get that, did they?
I don't see it. I don't see them.
That's a noob move right there, if there ever was one. You got to be able to, when you're rocking times 4, you got to be able to shut them down.
Yeah, so I don't see that unless I'm missing it.
I don't see it. They're usually fairly obvious.
Yeah. So, but it's still cool. It you know, we're coming to the point, I think, that, you know, 8-core 16 thread is enough to do certain workstation things.
Are you kidding? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
This is the work. Dude, 8-core 16 threads, that is better than like Intel's best high-end desktop part from like 2 years ago.
This is true.
So, I mean, not Xeon, but, you know, pretty freaking close.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that this board is designed just for that. And Asus has always done a workstation board for mainstream. I think it's targeted more at, like, not your heaviest CAD users, but, like, I don't know. This would probably be a great board for a graphic designer.
Yeah.
Who's not really crushing their system with the workload, but they definitely want something that runs flawless, so that, you know, as they're using their programs, they're not getting slowed down at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think it I love the look. They've kept that same look of the workstation board too.
So good. Yeah. They're always so clean.
Yeah, very, very clean. So if you're looking to build a new workstation or something like that, and you want to go more mainstream, which is weird to say 8-core 16 thread is mainstream, but Asus will have a board for you, so definitely check that out. We'll move from all of motherboard and CPU stuff to hard drives, and Corsair just launched their fastest NVMe SSD ever. It is the 4 Series MP510. It's an M.2 NVMe drive. And they're rated speeds. Read 3,480 megabytes a second and write up to 3,000 megabytes a second. So very, very fast. Available from 240 all the way up to 2 terabyte or 1920 gigabyte. Nice. But 2 terabyte, basically.
Nice.
This is, you know, Corsair, they're... I think it was their MP500, maybe, was very affordable NVMe drive. And this should be, there's no pricing. There's no pricing on the website either. And it's not available anywhere. Hmm. So I'm not sure on pricing yet.
Paper launch.
But hopefully it's very, you know, competitive, especially competitive with Samsung drives.
I wonder if they haven't actually made these yet, because clicking through the photos, the heat spreader or the sticker, whichever it is, that looks like total Photoshop. So maybe they haven't actually finished them off yet.
Let me see if I can find it on Amazon really quick. I don't believe, because it's not listed.
Let's see. Maybe they just wanted to get the word out, but I don't. Why would they do that?
You can buy the 240 gig version. Oh no, you can buy up to 960 gig on Amazon. It's out of stock though, so. But you can buy 240, 480, and 960. 960 is $235.99, so not terribly expensive. So you can get the 480 gig for $124.99. That's really good for those speeds. Cool. If you're looking to upgrade your storage, that might be something. And
NVMe drives dropped in price quick.
Oh yeah, they've been dropping.
That was nice.
Yeah, they've been dropping. Yeah. So now would be the time to get one, I would say too. There's rumors that it might go back up. So,
gotcha.
So we'll talk about gaming. We haven't talked about games. And, you know, growing up, for me, one of my favorite RTS games or real-time strategy games was Command & Conquer. I mean, the Command & Conquer series was awesome. I loved, you know, every time they released a new game, I got it. It was just such a good series and such a good game. And then it kind of just, I don't know what happened to it, honestly. but it kind of just faded out. I remember, you know, Red Alert 3 was just such a good game. The storyline was really good and everything like that. So news came out that EA, who obviously owns Command & Conquer, they're going to remaster it, which will be nice. So you get to play those games in, you know, current resolutions, and they'll work on Windows 10, which would be cool because I'd love to replay these. I'm a huge fan of, like, single-player RTS. Like, I don't want to play against anybody. I just want to build my, you know, thing and do my own thing. And so I would probably go out and buy this. And it looks like they not only are going to be remastering, but they might release a new game. After this whole thing came out, they said that the new game will not have microtransactions, which is a big EA thing. So,
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely see.
They can say whatever they want.
But yeah, the game is they're going to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Command & Conquer, which is crazy. It makes you feel so old. Makes me feel old. But yeah, having a new game would, I think, would be really cool. And being able to play the old games, I would buy them. I would at least buy Red Alert 3 to just play over again.
Right.
You know, so very cool. We got a lot of people commented on this on Facebook, so I think it would be cool to see. I think that there's not a lot of good RTSs out there that, like, are like just RTSs. Like, a lot of them have, like, MOBA stuff built in now, and, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, things change,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So that's something exciting, something to look forward to. And another cool thing about bringing something old back, it looks like there'll be a new version of Winamp released in 2019. So if you didn't know, if you weren't a PC guy, or maybe just became a PC person, way back in the day, Winamp was like the go-to MP3 player. It was just so cool. You could get cool skins for it. Like, it was just, at least for me, like, when I downloaded MP3s, or, you know, or ripped MP3s off of CDs, yeah, Winamp was what I used to play them. I don't know about you.
Had to, basically. It was like the only option, it seemed like.
Yeah, Windows Media Player was horrible.
Garbage. Still garbage.
Yeah, I mean, early versions of iTunes were horrible, and they were Mac only. And, you know, Winamp had, like, the Shoutcast player in it, so you could, you know, broadcast online. And there was a lot of cool things with Winamp, and it was just, like, the best MP3 player of its time. And it kind of just, you know, it was bought by AOL, and AOL has a horrible time managing things. We've seen that with
including their own company.
Yeah, all the properties that they bought. And a lot of those, they bought all those blogs back in the day, too. I forget one big tech blog that they bought and just horribly managed it. And they horribly managed a lot of those blogs that they bought. And that, well, I don't know when that was. But in 2014, the company Radioonomy bought Winamp, and it looks like they'll be releasing a new version in 2019, and they want it to be like the go-to media app. So, like, you know, you can still listen to MP3s, obviously, but you can listen to, you know, MP3s that you might have in the cloud. Or they're going to have some type of cloud service, but podcasts, streaming, you know, radio stations, building playlists, things like that. So it would be cool because, you know, I use iTunes now, and it's not the best, and I'm not a huge fan of it at all. And a lot of times, I mean, I use Spotify 90% of the time.
Yeah, that's me, Spotify.
Yeah.
Although I don't do podcasting through Spotify.
Yeah, sometimes I do, but yeah, I mean, I use the podcasting. I listen to podcasts on my phone most of the time.
Yeah, me too.
But it would be cool to see what they do with Winamp.
We'll see. Do you really think it can do it, though? Because what they're saying is that people want one single experience, right? But I don't think they can deliver that because they're not a music service, and they're not planning to be. And I don't think they could be because, honestly, it's a little late for that, right?
Yeah. I don't think
so.
Like, it would be nice to have something to play MP3s and to like listen to podcasts, but like, again,
what MP3s though?
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. So
just using my MP3s means that I'm it's a second player for me, right? And why would I, when I have Spotify, why would I even, like, all of the MP3s I have are on Spotify?
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like,
why would I go outside of it?
The biggest hurdle would be, how do you beat Spotify or Apple Music or any of the
Pandora or like, anything? Tons of people use Pandora. Yeah.
So it's going to be, you know, like, we've seen so many people like buy these IPs and then not do anything. So
it doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. It would just be cool to see. I mean, I would download it and play with it.
Sure.
You know, just see what.
There will be people that will use it.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. But
it's just a matter of whether it's like, whether it's this app that they want it to be, that might be something else.
Yeah. Altogether. So we'll have to see about that. But cool to see. We'll keep you updated. When it releases, I'm sure you'll see a lot of news of when it comes out. No word on when in 2019 that will be. But hopefully it's sooner than later. So
yeah.
So that brings us to the end here. And we'll talk about what we have coming up next week, which I already told you guys. We will have our review of the Intel Core i9-9900K. That, again, is Intel's first mainstream 8-core, 16-thread processor. It will probably be the go-to gaming processor for a lot of people. So I'll have that. And I talked about the ASRock Z390 Phantom Gaming SLI AC motherboard. We have the preview up on the site so you can get, you know, a lot of details on it. But our review that will come out will have all of our testing and everything like that. So you can really, you know, see what that board's about. And of course, I'll have our BIOS video and all that kind of stuff. Talk about the software that it comes with. And of course, all of the testing and overclocking. And I have the MSI Mag Z390 Tomahawk. That's part of their Mag series. You know, this is sort of like their affordable gaming series that they have. And it's a good board as well. You know, again, affordable gaming. It looks really good. And one thing that I've really liked is they brought the attached I/O shield down to almost all of their lines now. So you have the I/O shield already attached to the board, so you don't have to worry about that when you're installing this in a system, which is
nice. That's sweet.
Of course, there's RGBs on this. So yeah, I will have all three of those. Should be Friday, as long as I get the MSI review done, which I'm working on now. So so yeah, so a lot to get done for Friday, but we'll have all of that stuff for you guys. Pretty excited to have that all for you on Friday. So yeah, so you know, as we always do, we talk about at the end of the podcast if we did anything tech related, if we bought anything tech related, if we saw anything kind of tech or geek related. Anything you do this week?
No.
You're like, no, I was a normal human this week.
Wow, dude, geeks are normal humans.
You know what I mean?
Don't be a hater.
I'm one of them. How can I be hating on myself?
don't hate yourself. I did do like outside things. I raised my bike and I shot a wedding, so nice. I guess I didn't like the time that I normally would have spent watching or playing games, I used it there. I'm still playing Battlefield 4, getting ready, you know. So
are you gonna get Battlefield 5?
Yeah, I'm gonna get Battlefield 5. Okay. That's why I'm playing 4.
So you gotta like
gotta get my skills up.
Get good again.
Again, man, it never went away.
Yeah, when that comes out? When does that come out? Soon.
November.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, I'll probably get it just because I don't know. I usually get all those games plus and to benchmark as well. So.
Right.
So yeah, I've been testing Z390 stuff and dealing with all that. It's good. I like it. It's again, I can't talk about performance of the chip, but it's gonna do well. I feel, and you know, we'll have a lot to talk about on Friday. So definitely check back on the site on Friday. That's all I really can say. That's pretty much all I've been doing. I haven't bought anything. I haven't. You know, I haven't tested anything new, but we do have some cool stuff coming up. Not this upcoming week, but
content's good.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming up. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. So we will leave you.
Oh,
go ahead.
Before we go, I did. So I finally got around to posting up a bunch of the coolers that I've reviewed for here online. I'm going to put them on Reddit, and they're on overclock.net right now. So if you do need an all-in-one cooler, check them out. They're pretty heavily discounted.
Nice.
Just a little personal ad there. Sorry.
Yeah, and Derek's usually pretty good with hardware. He doesn't break it like me. So those should still be in really good shape. So definitely
they're in factory shape.
Yeah, we'll put the link to his stuff on the show notes, so we'll have all that stuff.
Cool.
So yeah, guys, that we'll leave you here. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about here. So you can click through and get even more information. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next time, catch you guys later.